olmayan bir tanımız ya, yanında da aşağıda kayan çaksın bir जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधरा शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वेलकम एवरीवन, टुडे इज अ वेरी स्पेशल डे। वी हैव मल्टीपल थिंग्स। टुडे इज एन एकादशी, sacred day that comes after every 15 days, where some of the devotees they fast, and then also there's Gita Jayanti. Many of you have been reciting Bhagavad Gita. I'm sure it's a very powerful experience. So I'm fortunate to be here today as well to benefit from reading from Bhagavad Gita, a particular verse, and I seek blessings from many of you who are my seniors and who are elder to me in the age. So please bless me that I benefit from, you know, reading the Bhagavatam and do some justice to speaking about it. And my friends, I seek your well wishes and prayers. So every Wednesday we have been reading Bhagavad Gita verse by verse. So today we are reading Bhagavad Gita, all the verses of Bhagavad Gita in one go. But in order to go deeply into each and every verse, every Wednesday, one verse is discussed. So today's verse is chapter 10, text 38. It says, Dando damyatam asmi nitir asmi jigitsatam maunam chaiva sami guyam guyanam Jnanam Jnanavatam Aham. And the purport is, among all means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment, and of those who seek victory, I am morality. Of secret things, I am silence, and of the wise, I am the wisdom. So in this chapter, Krishna has been revealing his glories in different things that we perceive in this world. So he's saying that whenever there is lawlessness or irreligiousness or laws are broken, so Krishna comes as the punishment. And those who seek victory, so victory is not as we understand in this material world, victory is gaining success and more money and, you know, and entrepreneurship. Victory is really, you know, victory of the mind and victory of, you know, connections of the heart and, you know, having very strong relationships. Victory over the material energy. So different forms of victory. And he says, I'm morality. So based on morality, one can be victorious in various things. And then of secret things and silence. So in this purport really talks about importance of silence. And the fourth thing is of the wise, I'm wisdom. So four things, punishment, morality, silence, and wisdom. So it's a very short purport, probably you like to read it. Srila Prabhupada says, there are many suppressing agents of which the most important are those that cut down miscreants, basically to subdue the miscreants. When miscreants are punished, the agency of chastisement represents Krishna. Among those who are trying to be victorious in some field of activity, the most victorious element is morality. Among the confidential activities of hearing, thinking, and meditating, silence is most important, because by silence one can make progress very quickly. The wise man is who is he who can discriminate between matter and spirit, between God's superior and inferior natures. Such knowledge is Krishna himself. And let's see, and on the purport. So let's discuss a few things. So first is punishment. So it's very, actually in this purport is kind of a, seems like a contradiction, you know. Krishna is saying, I'm punishment and I'm morality. So it's like, you know, two faces of Krishna, two aspects of Krishna in punishment and as well as morality. So I want to bring attention to the tools, what Krishna uses to punish us, and how can a devotee take, well, let's, yeah, we'll stick to miscreants and how those miscreants are within our own heart as well. So when Krishna came, Krishna himself descended in Vrindavan, the tools that he used, like tools in the sense, what did he do to punish, or the means of punishment was really killing the demons. So whoever were the miscreants, whether it was Putna, Trinavarta, even from he was very small, like 3, 4, 5 months old, till he, you know, he killed Kamsa. So till he grew up, there were different demons that attacked the devotees and Krishna to kill him, and he just. So those demons had very inimical attitude towards Krishna and his devotees. So Krishna literally killed them, and that's it. But Krishna came in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So who does not know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Okay. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a form of Krishna as a devotee. So Bhagavad Gita tells us to surrender to Krishna and become his devotee. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as a devotee, but he is Krishna himself, and he came 500 years ago, whereas Krishna's appearance is rated to be like over 5,000 years ago. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a recent incarnation in the age of Kali. He is called Tri Guna Avatar. So yeah, so there were many miscreants that were there even at that time, in the age of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here. And especially I want to bring up Jagai and Madhai. So they were two miscreants who would create disturbance. They would attack devotees, they would attack women, they would steal, they would do all nasty things. So in that avatar of Krishna, he did not use the weapon of killing. He did not use any weapon, and he did not kill them. Through his representatives, which was Lord Nityananda, by his mercy, by his compassion, he transformed them. So he killed the miscreant mentality, but he did not kill the person themselves. Like, he did not kill Jagai and Madai. But like by mercy of Lord Nityananda, those miscreants were transformed. Their whole mentality was transformed from a miscreant to a wise person. So the tool there is compassion, and especially to sustain, to not sustain, but like to cultivate that wisdom, the process of chanting of holy name was provided. So chanting of holy name is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So chanting both like loudly along with others, it's called Sankirtan, and also chanting, you know, personally in our daily life for our personal meditation. So similarly for us, there are external differences where there are miscreants out in the world, and there are many, and sometimes such miscreants can be leaders as well. I would not name anyone, but So there are like that external miscreants as well, and the movement of Sankirtan is, you know, supposed to have that calming effect on the miscreants if they are fortunate to hear it and absorb it. But I like to focus on miscreants within our own heart. So there is a part of our heart which is, I mean, many of you are here, or all of you are here for some reason, some good reason, and the auspicious, you know, the auspicious side of the heart, or the favorable part of the heart, is saying, hey, I want to go to temple, and you know, just attracted to the temple on a weekday. So there is that favorable part of us, but there is this unfavorable part of that resides within our own heart. So both miscreant and wise are within the heart itself. So this pure, or one side that is favorable to cultivate purity, and there is the other side that kind of keep on pulling us back. And then another way to look at the same thing is that there is a deceptive mind and there is a friendly mind. The friendly mind is again helping us to come to Krishna. You know, it convinced us to come here to the temple, and it tells us to, yes, okay, I should chant. But there is this deceptive mind which many times says, no, don't do this, don't go and chant holy name, don't go to temple, I don't have time. It has tons of reasons, and it's very, very intelligent mind, you know, the deceptive mind, much more trickier than probably we can think of. So it provides all the reasons to, you know, not do the right things. So the same thing applies to us. As Lord Chaitanya came, gave his compassion through Lord Nityananda, so we also have that compassion in our life through Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada is the one who, you know, got this movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, from east to west. And especially Boston is a special place where he landed first. And then his association is through his books. His books are literally his written words, his vani, his what he spoke is written in the book. And especially, like, you know, beginning with Bhagavad Gita, the whole Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and many other books is a way where we can take his association. And taking his association is also like reading these purports in a very personal way. How to read this? Okay, Srila Prabhupada is saying, my dear devotee of name XYZ, you should do this, you know, read this purport as if it's a personal letter. This is what he is personally telling to me. And that kind of reading is very, very powerful, very powerful. That just, it's like a direct communication with him. And many times I've heard and even experienced, devotees sharing that, hey, I was in this dilemma and I didn't know what to do, and picked up Bhagavad Gita, opened it, and that page had the answer. So how many of you know about Harry Potter? Most all of you. So I don't know, many years ago I saw the movie, and you know, the movie is showing that everything is conscious and dynamic. You know, the stairs, the book, everything is, you know, it speaks to you. It's not really a matter, it's not really inert, but it speaks to you, and the ladders move, and then so many things happen, as if everything is alive. So I literally have that picture in my mind, and that's the concept we can think about, you know, when we are reading the Bhagavad Gita. It's not that this is Harry Potter or anything like that, but the concept shown over there is kind of applicable here. This is a spiritually dynamic book. It's not a static book or static knowledge. If once written and that's it, we read it like something that was written long ago, does not have a meaning to me, does not speak to me. It speaks to us as much as we try to listen to it, or how much intention we have to listen to it. So yeah, coming back to the miscreants. So reading Bhagavad Gita, as one is doing today, celebrating it and worshiping it, worshiping the book, it provides us wisdom. Here it says wisdom. You know, I am the wisdom of the wise. So it provides us that wisdom of how to see different existence details around us. So let me elaborate on that. So Bhagavad Gita specifically gives us a lot of information about five factors. The five factors are Kala, Prakriti, Jiva, Ishvara, and Karma. So Kala is time, time energy of Krishna. Prakriti is material nature, it's where we live in. And then Jiva is the soul, individual soul, living entity. And then Ishvara is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And then karma is our karmic reactions, good or bad. So there are different different set of verses all throughout Bhagavad Gita giving that knowledge about these factors in our life. And recently I was in a retreat where I was hearing about Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj basically, he became a pure devotee, and he was thrown and tried to be killed by different manners, but he could not. And finding his father Hiranyakashipu, who is a miscreant, says, "Hey, where is your lord? Can you show me your lord?" And he said, "Yes, my lord is everywhere. He's in this pillar." And from pillar came appearance of Lord Narsingadev. And then after Narsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu, there were many demigods who was trying to pacify him. He was very angry. Basically angry that this Hiranyakashipu has been disturbing his devotee. And nobody else could pacify him except Prahlad. And then as Prahlad was pacifying him, there are many prayers he offered. And in that, all those prayers, there is description of all of this, that Krishna, Narsingadev, you are the same Vishnu who is the time factor, and you are the creator of this material energy, and there's a whole creation process that is that he elaborates on. And he's a 5-year-old boy. He probably has not even started reading or writing yet. Still he had all that knowledge. And then he talks about living entity and the relationship of living entity to this supreme living entity or the super soul. And then he talks about how a karma of a living entity is, you know, takes the living entity from one circumstance to the other, to the other, to the other. So I just want to ask like a quiz kind of question. Out of these five, Kala, Prakriti, like time, material energy, living entity, Krishna, and karma, what do you think out of these five, which is not eternal? Out of these five, four are eternal, and one is not. Karmic reaction. You already know, some of you already know. Karmic reaction is not eternal, rest everything is eternal. That's pretty interesting, you know. We are so much bound by our karma. We say, "Oh, this karma, when is going to end?" You know, just keep on reaping the fruits of good and bad results in our life. But really, the karma can be mitigated. It could be made zero. Both good and bad karma. So probably we think, "Oh, let my good karma stay and bad karma go away." But when good karma also brings some problems, even though it brings a lot of comforts, but those comforts for a devotee can be used in service to Krishna, or those comforts can propel one to for sense gratification. So again, it's and similarly bad karma for a person, a normal living entity, would try to repel or be, you know, okay, take my bad karma away and, you know, feel very distressed when there are reactions from bad karma. But for a devotee, bad karma can also be used in service to Krishna. And so Prahlad Maharaj was not really experiencing his bad karma. He was put into a situation by the Lord himself. But we can learn from his life that even though he was being tried, there were so many attempts to kill him by his own father, he just took shelter of Krishna in every situation, in every circumstance. So good karma, bad karma, does not matter. And literally the process of devotional service, bhakti, which is where it, here it is, says hearing, thinking, meditating. So hearing about Krishna, which is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and chanting about Krishna. And in, when we are chanting, chanting is a form of meditation. And when we are chanting his name, we are also hearing his name. So chanting is not for other people to hear, but for our own, for us to hear attentively as well. So So by performing these important practices of devotional service, one can really mitigate, or by mercy of Krishna, all the karma is mitigated, good and bad. And Kala, Prakriti, Jiva and Ishvara are all eternal. So it's very easy to understand that Krishna is eternal. And Jiva is part and parcel of Krishna. So if Krishna is eternal, all the parts and parcels of Krishna are also eternal. Just like sunlight, all the small particles in the sunlight exist along with the sun. As long as sun exists, sunlight exists, all those particles exist. And then Prakriti, material nature, is also eternal. It is activated by time factor, and there's a whole process how it happens. Like Mahavishnu is lying on the ocean, he breathes, and this pradhan, or the material energy, is created, and then he glances over it, and then time factor starts, kicks in, and then all the living entities, based on their karma, start functioning. They get their bodies, and then the interaction begins. So time factor is the one that really triggers the material existence. And once we get rid of all the miscreants in our heart, and we really have this pure heart, then one can even experience timelessness. So the spiritual world, there is concept of timelessness. There is no time that exists. So that's pretty interesting. And I've been thinking about it. You know, what does it mean by timelessness? You know, how does it look like? How does it feel like? So it's very, interesting concept. I'm trying to still think about it. So that's... So these are the two aspects I wanted to bring out, miscreants and so Krishna is punishment for the miscreants. And also when something wrong happens to us, we can see there's Krishna behind it. Nothing happens for no reason. There is always a reason for anything that happens in this world. It is said that even a blade of grass cannot move without the sanction of the Lord. So it's pretty powerful that everything that's happening around us, mixed with our karma, our desire and our deserve, what we want, what we desire to, that we want to happen in our life, and how much we deserve. And then based on that, Krishna orchestrates, through his material energy, he orchestrates different events in our life, different happenings in our life. So it's a good exercise to probably think about, hey, what is Krishna telling me in this? What is Krishna doing in this whole situation? And then he says, Krishna is saying that silence, of all the confidential activities, silence is most important. Let's see how much time I have. So in this time and age in the modern world, even though we may be silent, but if we are hooked on to these small devices and now watches, you know, we have smart watches. So you're hooked on to it all the time, 24 hours. We really cannot be silent, even if we are silent, but we are constantly, our mind is constantly looking for a message or an email or some information. Like there's a, they say cognitive overloading that's happening in the world today. So much information is at disposal, which really make the mind more and more restless. It does not pacify it. And if we really think about how many of the places were, even 50 years ago, there were no technology and they were very simple life. Material comforts were really not that much and the global connectivity wasn't that much. So people really formed very good relationships amongst each other. There was so much human energy around everyone and there was no 24 hours, like a constant stimulation. That's happening from all the devices. So really, in this age and world, to practice silence takes a lot of practice, where mind is silent. And that begins with our, really being, our mouth being silent, not, speaking a lot and not hearing a lot. So there could be like some times during the day where one can practice, for 5 minutes. Let me be silent, let me push this off and take a pause and really observe what's going on within oneself. Sometimes we lack even awareness of our own feelings and our own what's going internally in our heart. That's because so much focus is to the external world, but less focus is to this internal world that is inside us. So maybe you can try practicing some silence. Few minutes each day. And then the last part is the wise man who can discriminate between matter and spirit. So basically it's Krishna, that knowledge is Krishna himself. So that knowledge comes definitely sharpening our intelligence by reading the books and then reading in a devotional manner so that one can receive mercy, and by practicing chanting. So the knowledge comes from our realizations. So Prahlad Maharaj, who was, or Bhakta Prahlad, who was just 5 years old, could speak about, such universal glories of Krishna that he probably wouldn't have read anywhere. He had probably not read any book by that time, but he had heard from his spiritual master, who was Narad Muni, and he did what he said. And he did not even hear when he was born. He heard it when he was in the womb of his mother. So he was even unborn when he heard from Narad Muni, and that was it. That changed his life. I can't say change, but really that put him on the track of pure devotional service. He practiced what Narad Muni told him, and by that practice, he knew all of this by his realization of Krishna. When we know Krishna, we know everything. We know entire universe. We know about living entities. We know about material energy. We know about time factor. So, because all knowledge is Krishna himself. So thank you very much. You are going to continue reading Bhagavad Gita and probably read in, try to read it, that Krishna is telling this to us. Hare Krishna.